Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it does. It happens very, very quickly. Obviously, listen, the big story last night, let's not beat around the bush when it comes to this. Tua's health. Tua Tagovailoa and what happened last night was a tough watch. And it's what does happen in football sometimes, but it makes it scary. It's really not a great, like, the league certainly doesn't want to see that at all, let alone on national TV in front of anybody. But just we've seen some really bad hits over the years in the NFL. We've seen some really bad injuries. We've seen concussion situations that are tough to watch, and Tua is kind of at the top of all of those. So first and foremost, let's just get it out of the way. Like, I think anybody, any human, looks at that and says, hope the dude's healthy. Hope he figures out exactly what he wants to do, because that's really the conversation, right? In 2022, he apparently said he was at least thinking about retirement, and rightfully so. I don't think that he will. There's a big contract that he just signed, and he loves playing football. And I think that's what people kind of lose sight of at times in this, is something that most of these players have done their entire lives. And it's tough to just walk away from something like that when you don't really know what the end game is going to be and what that health situation is going to look like. So we don't know what Tua's status is going to be. We know the Dolphins are going to be looking at least another quarterback. Mike McDaniel has said that Skylar Thompson is the next man up. I will say this. Skylar Thompson should not be the next man up. He looks like a backup quarterback in the UFL at this point. It was an awful, awful watch just from a football perspective alone once Skylar Thompson was out there at quarterback. I know we've watched him in some playoff games before and won, right? Was he 18 of 45 a couple years ago? I mean, he's terrible. He has no business being out there. So the way that I look at this, because this is still a betting show, we do have to look at that from a betting perspective. Again, hope Tua is healthy. Does what's right for himself and for his family, without question. I think we all can agree on that. But if you're looking at the Dolphins' offense now moving forward, how can you count on any wide receiver week after week in the props market? You can't if Skylar Thompson is quarterback. They sign Ryan Tannehill or trade for somebody else, maybe we'll feel a little bit different. I had Tyreek Hill receptions last night, the over on that 6.5. I mean, that had no shot of hitting, obviously. And Tyreek in the first half didn't even look good, let alone the second half where they just sat everybody. Jaylen Waddle, really non-existent. They couldn't complete passes. So if Skylar Thompson is going to be the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, at least for the short term, they are a complete stay away from me across the board. All Dolphins wide receivers have to be a stay away. Now, what I will say is that if you are going to target anybody in the Dolphins offense with Skylar Thompson at quarterback, Devon Achane's the guy to go to. They kept him out there when everybody else was out of the game. And Devon Achane is used more as a receiver as opposed to a running back. Last night was different because Raheem Mostert wasn't in the game. Normally, Mostert is kind of more of the traditional running back, and then they use Devon Achane as a third down back, receiving back, kind of alternate, change of pace back. He has more of that role where he can do both, dual purpose role. So I would be looking at somebody like him week after week, rushing and receiving yards, maybe some receptions. Certainly those are going to be situations to keep an eye on, because when a quarterback looks the way Skylar Thompson did last night, and now listen, if he's starting for the next couple weeks, might look a little bit better, get a little bit more comfortable, was thrown into a really tough situation. And let's be honest, these guys are all teammates of Tua. And you see what happens on the field like that and his reaction after that hit. Guys are going to be shaken up, distracted. That's kind of how this stuff goes in football. You can say, we're used to this, we've seen this, we know it's a violent game, but when you see a teammate, you see a friend go through that, it's going to be some level of a distraction for anybody. But what I will say is that if you're Skylar Thompson, you're looking for kind of one of those safety nets. I always talk about this. Rookie quarterbacks, or inexperienced quarterbacks love to have that safety net, that guy they can dump the ball off to. Devon Achane could be that guy for Skylar Thompson. So I would say if you're just kind of in that situation, that's certainly what you want to look at moving forward. If you got to target anybody with the Dolphins, but we got so many things obviously up in the air, some things that are bigger, some things that aren't as big that you got to pay attention to obviously first and kind of how that comes together with the Dolphins. On the Bills side of things, the one thing we learned, it's going to be James Cook time. James Cook season all year long. I mean, all year long. Rushing and receiving yards, that's going to be something to target every single week. You could go just one or the other, rushing or receiving. Anytime touchdowns, he had three in the first half. The Joe Brady offense has made it very clear that James Cook is the focal point of what they do after Josh Allen. Because, right, we came into this season with the Bills, and you went, well, who's going to be their receiver that they count on? I didn't want to use the word number one receiver, right? But just putting Dalton Kincaid, the tight end situation aside, as a pass catcher outside of tight end, the question was, who is it going to be? Hell, it might be James Cook. I mean, had a receiving touchdown in the first half. That and Khalil Shakir. Those are the two that I would look at with the Bills and say, if it's not a week-by-week kind of changing things up a little bit, which was kind of the Chiefs last year. You know, in some ways, if you look at the Bills' offense this year, it reminds me a little bit, I know it's not the same quarterback, so don't get all upset here when I say this, but it reminds me of the Chiefs offense a little bit last year, where week by week, right, you didn't know, again, you put Travis Kelce aside, and Travis Kelce, we had to know whether or not Taylor Swift was in the building and what his numbers were going to look like. So you've got a similar situation at tight end, minus Taylor Swift, but you've got, you know, Dalton Kincaid, who's a go-to pass-catching tight end for the offense. That would be Travis Kelce on the side with the Chiefs. And then if you're going and looking at the rest of the receivers that you've got out there for the Chiefs last year and then the Bills this year, it's kind of a week-by-week thing. They're not necessarily walking brain farts like you had like Kadarius Toney last year in Kansas City, but you didn't really know who was going to get the targets week after week. As the season went on, it became Rashee Rice. Maybe that becomes Khalil Shakir. We certainly saw that in the first half. You can't really take away anything from the second half of last night's game because, I mean, it wasn't a game once Tua got hurt. I mean, the offense was completely stagnant and non-existent if you're talking about the Dolphins side of things. And if you're looking at the Bills, it was just, let's just get out of this. Let's get out healthy. Let's not have anything else go wrong in this. Let's run out the clock, and let's get off the field. And that was really the goal when it was all said and done. So you kind of got to look at what's going to happen with the Dolphins, but I do know this. The Bills certainly like James Cook, and I think Khalil Shakir has that, there's enough chemistry there, and I think a trust factor with Josh Allen that at least makes you comfortable week after week if you're looking for somebody to target in that Bills offense. Besides James Cook. All right, as for props this weekend, you know, one of the things that really stood out last week, and this is wild, so I want to make sure I get this exactly right for you here. We had a running back heavy week one in the NFL. So week two involved, obviously, Devon Achane already and James Cook last night. But if you go back to week one, there was a total of 34 passing touchdowns between all 32 teams, right? So just 34 passing touchdowns total for all 32 teams across the board week one of the NFL. That's three fewer than last season. But if you go back a couple of years, in 2021, 61 passing touchdowns in week one. So you're going to look at this and go, are the running backs back? Now, I'm not going to say running back is back yet in the NFL. But as we headed into this season, one of the questions was, like, what's Bijan Robinson's workload going to look like? What's Kyron Williams' workload going to look like? Can I trust Ramondre Stevenson? And you go down the list of some of these running backs and say, like, do I want to jump in on anything in them in the props market? Well, Blake Corum did not cannibalize any carries or any targets or any touches or anything for Kyron Williams. 91% of the snap share for the Rams in week one. You should be comfortable week after week with Kyron Williams, at least at this point, until we see otherwise. Bijan Robinson, even with Tyler Algier out there, right? We know Tyler Algier can be a weapon in that offense. But Raheem Morris in the offseason, what did he say? He was like, oh, man, got to get Bijan the ball. It's exactly what they did. 89% of the snap share. So even Ramondre Stevenson, we'll talk to Lucy Burge in a little bit, as we know, Boston fan to the fullest, even though Patriots aren't good this year. I'm not going to fall for what happened last year. I see her on camera. She's smiling. Not yet, Lucy. We'll get there in a couple of minutes. Ramondre Stevenson, though, 78% of the snap share, even with Antonio Gibson there. So there's a lot of running backs you can actually be comfortable with early on in the season here to at least target in the props market. I like Josh Jacobs, and I like Jonathan Taylor, the over on their rushing yards there. I mean, these are two guys I think that are in a spot they're going to get a ton of carries, especially Josh Jacobs. I mean, it's now the loveless Packers for at least the next month. So what are you going to do? Hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs. You paid him him all that money. Jonathan Taylor is going to be in a similar spot. Green Bay's 23rd against the run right now. So there's a spot for both of these running backs, I think, to go over their rushing yards in week two. And listen, Malik Willis just got to Green Bay. He's going to be the starter. You don't want to put this guy in a position to lose. You don't want to put this guy in a position to struggle early, because we've watched him start in the past, and it really hasn't been pretty. I mean, he's looked like Skylar Thompson. In fact, I'd argue maybe worse a little bit. So I'd expect a lot of Josh Jacobs. A couple other props if you're looking at some of these quarterbacks and just what we saw in week one. Lamar Jackson, how can you not go over his rushing yards week after week after week? 48.5, I took the over on that the minute that prop popped up there, because you have to. Because that Ravens offensive line, they were called for five. Yeah, I want to say it was five illegal formations against the Chiefs. That's not good. And I know they're putting, it's a point of emphasis this year in the NFL, but it's just, you watch that, three new starters on the Ravens offensive line, and Lamar Jackson knows he can lean on his legs if he needs to. And if you're not going to get the time, which he did not get in week one, why aren't you going to run? And it's the same thing for Jaden Daniels in Washington. Trust me, I've watched my terrible Commanders for years. The offensive line hasn't been good in probably a decade at this point. Jaden Daniels is going to have to run out of necessity week after week. Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, two quarterbacks who are just going to be looking at legs and running. Those are guys I'm taking the over on their attempts, and I'm taking the over on their rushing yards, specifically just this weekend. But that also turns into a week-by-week thing for me. Until I see otherwise from both of those offensive lines, I would be more confident in the Ravens' offensive line improving than Washington's. But at the same time, both of these quarterbacks have the ability to run, and those are some of the directions that you probably would just lean if you're looking at. I'm not going to sit here and get overly worked up about the fact that you only had a couple of quarterbacks go over 1.5 passing touchdowns. And that it's going to get better. Offenses get better as the season goes on. Preseason's not what it used to be. You're getting more of these joint practices. Teams aren't necessarily as sharp. I mean, we've watched teams like the Patriots for years in their prime where they basically treated the first month of the season like it was preseason. So I'm not going to get overly worked up over that trend. I feel like that's a short-term thing. But for now, those are ones we certainly have to look at. And then, of course, Bo Nix, just take the interception against the Steelers defense. Are you freaking kidding me? That Steelers defense is going to embarrass Bo Nix. It's going to be awful. I would even parlay that with a TJ Watt sack if you can. Depends on where you are and if they'll let you parlay that. But if you can, do it, because TJ Watt is going to make Bo Nix's life an absolute, absolute living hell. All right, I mentioned Lucy Burge jumping on with us. BetQL's Lucy Burge. She's ready to go. You're smiling when I talked about the Patriots, I know. Big nice. Surprise week one, honestly. I mean, listen, I'm watching that game with PJ. We're doing our show. It's Sunday from National Harbor. You know, and I'm like, am I watching it? I know the Bengals year after year just struggle early on in the season. There was a lot of Patriots slander, myself included. I took the under on their win total. After week one, do they at least feel to you, Lucy, like maybe a team that they're not good, but they're at least a good cover target, because they're gonna play real hard for their new coach, you know, and then just week after week they're gonna be real tough and play. It kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
Yes, Nick. First of all, hello, wonderful to see you and speak with you. I was one of those people that doubted this team and picked against them. I had Bengals -8, and I would have taken Bengals -15. And that team was shocking. This team is shocking. I had the under on their win total for the season, under 4.5 games. And now, could they make the Super Bowl? Probably. I am shocked, shocked by how this team is playing. So I have completely flipped around, and now I'm going to take them to cover, you know, every week going forward until they, you know, completely disintegrate. But this team, you said they're not good. They actually are good. This team is a very good team. And the ceiling was very low, Nick, and now they have blown right through it. So I'm just speechless about this team. Clearly I'm not speechless, but I am blown away.
Listen, first off, if they do turn out to be as bad as we thought they were before the season starts, Lucy, I can help guide you through what it's like to be a fan of a bad football team, because I've dealt with it for decades in Washington. So if you need any help, any counseling, any therapy, I will help you through that. I promise.
Thank you.
You can. But I do feel like Ramondre Stevenson is one of those guys that you could at least look at week after week, where I feel like there's nothing else involved in that offense that you can count on. So should we just be targeting his everything, I guess, week after week with them?
Yes, I would say why not do that. But also, another guy to keep an eye on is Jalen Polk, because his stats in week one weren't spectacular, but he got open a lot. He has route running capability that they could utilize a lot more going forward. So I think there's potential there to target him and for him to improve going forward. So yes, Ramondre Stevenson, but also just keep an eye on Jalen Polk to improve as the season goes on, as you know, the team will also as the season goes on. But I am happy to know that you are here for me in case anything goes awry with the experience that you have, because it is new. In the only the past couple years for people in New England, a lot of people don't know the Patriots. I am one of those people in a state that is not one of winning. So that would be very helpful if you could help me out should they start losing games, which maybe they won't. Maybe they will go undefeated. It's possible.
Listen, all hours of the day, I got you. I know sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my God, the Patriots are losing. I can tell you, you're going to just be thinking about that for a long time. So
I'll call
work through this together. And you know, you need to, because it's going to be a difficult situation for you. And I'll be honest, you've had a lot of winning up there. Like, you just had the Celtics win another NBA title. So I mean this as best I can, Lucy. With all due respect to your entire fan base up there for all your teams, I hope you deal with some losing for a while, because you all deserve to suffer like the rest of us, because you don't know what it's like.
Yeah, it would be, you know, interesting to know what that feels like. And before the Celtics won, it had been a long time, Nick. It had been a drought. It had been so long, like half a decade, is just too long. So I'm happy that the Celtics did it, but the Patriots need to get back to a Super Bowl at some point, or you know, we're all going to lose our minds, because it's just the Red Sox have been too long too. So for the Patriots to make it to a Super Bowl would be just that's really all you can ask for. It's been too long already.
Must be nuts. We're talking 2 decades of that team being a contender. It's just, it must be nice. Must be nice, to say the least. All right. You got a five-star play for us today? You got a five-star play for us and anything you like this weekend? I want to just let you unload the clip a little bit here, because I know we're probably going to get off the rails at some point with the Patriots as this continues.
Oh, of course, yes. So a five-star play from the BetQL model today is Cubs-Rockies over 10.5 runs. The Rockies have gone over this in two of their last three games, as have the Cubs, and the Cubs lost to the Dodgers 10-8 and beat the Dodgers 10-4. This game is also in Denver, so the over of 10.5 runs is a five-star play from the BetQL model, and then I have a bunch of home run bets for today. Pete Alonso to hit a home run. He has one home run in his last 8 games. He has not gotten a hit in his last 4 games, but this slump, I got 2 slump buster home runs today. One is Pete Alonso, because I think he can end this today. Up against Aaron Nola, he is batting .327 against him with 16 hits, including 8 singles, 3 doubles, and 5 home runs. So Aaron Nola also allowed 3 home runs over his last 2 starts. So I think Pete Alonso to hit a home run. I also have Aaron Judge to hit a home run, just because I'm going to bet him every single day to hit a home run until he does it, because he's got to do it at some point. So I think today could be the day, Friday the 13th. What better way to break a Paw Patrol curse than Friday the 13th? Then I have Kyle Schwarber to hit a home run. He's got a home run in each of his last 2 games and at least 1 hit in each of his last 9 games. 7 home runs in his last 8. And Jose Quintana is against him. He is batting .286 with 6 hits, including a home run. And then Shohei Ohtani, not to hit a home run, but just to go over 1.5 bases. He just hit a home run yesterday. He's got 3 home runs in his last 6, 47 this season. Spencer Schwalenbach, who was going for the Braves, just gave up 2 home runs and 10 hits in his last start. Plus, he has allowed 20 hits over his last 3 starts. So, big night for Ohtani, I think, just over on 1.5 bases.
You know, we need people like you, Lucy, because I've boycotted baseball now at this point, because as the losses piled up for me and unpredictable baseball and football started, I said, I'm done. I'm over. But you're somebody that's still immersed in it, so I can tail you, and I'll stick with that and be good, so I can dabble in just a little bit of baseball. Because honestly, too, like, if you look at the start of the NFL season, I mean, we had those 3 14-point comebacks in week 1. I'll tell you what, I sat there around, you know, sitting there for, I mean, it was the point where it was for halftime of the 1 o'clock games, if you're on the East Coast, or the 1 o'clock games, and I thought, oh, I'm in a good spot here looking at the Titans. And, you know, looking at the Jags, and then, you know, even the Colts, thankfully, these came through to me. But you start, and then the second half comes around, I'm like, oh, my God. I'll tell you this right now. The Titans could be a team that's maybe a quarterback away, but as long as they have Will Levis out there at quarterback, they could lose every single week with the brain farts that he has.
Yeah, here's the issue, Nick. I did go to the same middle school as Will Levis. He and I are not the same time. I don't know him, but we have since like reconnected, and now we're like, oh, that's interesting. Follow each other on Instagram. But seeing this is very difficult to see and hard to root for now at this point, because you never want to see your quarterback with his hands on his head in complete despair. So yeah, that's tough. I don't know. Did I take the Titans to win the division before the season? I can't remember. So, we're just going to forget. And so, the Titans I'm kind of out on, but the Colts I did have to cover. So going forward, they could be a team to look at. So that is tough for the Titans. I don't know about them this season, as long as Will Levis is at quarterback, unfortunately.
Did he eat mayonnaise in middle school?
Definitely. That's where it began. He was actually the only kid drinking coffee at the time. And we were like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, I put mayonnaise in it. Cancels everything out.
Jesus.
It's delicious. Do that every day, Nick? Mayonnaise and coffee is a delicacy.
Listen,
his commercials are just beautifully done.
They are funny. A little bit of mayo on a sandwich is cool, but some of the things people do with mayo is just far above and beyond what anybody
should
do.
Hot dog.
All right, since I have you real quick, I need your advice, because obviously walking bets is a thing for you, and it's blown up. So now that I'm doing what I'm doing, and thankfully not working until 11 o'clock at night anymore, I'm trying to do some new stuff. So Kate, our head of social, is actually handling social right now here, so I know she's listening. You are great at obviously coming up with great betting bits. Should I start doing bets from my cold plunge tub? I feel like nobody else does Should that be my thing? And like, does that work?
Yes, okay. Do that. Another idea that I had in the holster, and you can have it, trampoline bets.
Okay.
So if you got like a little trampoline, here's another one. So I think cold tub, start with cold tub. And then if anyone else starts doing it as well, pivot to trampoline.
Yeah. I'll say this as delicately as I can, because the old man show did that. It may work more for not a guy doing the trampoline bets, but I'll just leave it at that. And
that would be funny.
May not work. I'll start with the cold plunge tub, and then we'll go from there. Mike Brown says, Nick's cold takes. I think that's what we'll do. Lucy, you're the best. Good to talk to you again.
I love it. Good to talk to you. I will talk to you soon, Nick.
All right, we've established it now. Listen, if Lucy is on board with bets from a cold plunge tub, I'm going to do it. I'm definitely going to, nobody else does that. So, Kate, I think we're in on that. I'm going to make that work. You can let me know. We'll figure this out as time goes on. Gotta come up with some. It's really, like, this is what it becomes. They say that cold plunge tubs, so they do, right? Right? Cold baths and all these like ices, it gives you mental clarity. So that's what it'll be. I'll get some mental clarity, and I'll put myself in a position where I can start thinking a little bit more about some of these bets that are out there that I'll be a little bit more comfortable with. A couple in college football, if I was sitting in the cold plunge tub right now, I would give these to you. I'm gonna talk about cold offense, Wisconsin. I'm taking the under 16.5 for their team total. Alabama's really tightened up that red zone defense, and if you watch Wisconsin right now, they can't move the ball. I mean, at all. It is not an explosive, high-powered offense that Wisconsin has. Alabama can counter that. So just that alone, unless they can break off a big play, which they haven't been able to do, this may be a situation here where they're just not able to score much against Alabama. So I'm going to take the under 16.5 for their team total. But I'm going to go the opposite way. This would be the sauna. It's hot. We'd go that direction. Oh, the ideas are just flowing right now. Kate, write all these down. I know you're there. Write all this stuff down. I'm taking the over 57.5 UNLV in Kansas. This is actually a rematch of the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. First off, I know PJ is a big college football fan, and then, Horvat's that way too. Those are guys that are the two biggest college football guys at this network here. The names for these bowl games are so stupid, and that has always been one of my pet peeves, one of my rants. I absolutely can't stand any of a majority of the names that are out there for these bowl games. But UNLV Kansas is a rematch of the Guaranteed Rate Bowl that finished 49-36 last year, which if you do the math, carry the one, add the two. That total is 85. And a lot of these, Kansas is still has that veteran roster, a lot of returning players from last year. Got some issues in terms of that defensive line. So there's opportunities there for UNLV to kind of break through a little bit. But I'm taking the over 57.5 when you look at that game on top of that. And see, you got cold, you got hot. I could do this. I could come up with some of these creative things to do on social media. Doesn't just have to be Lucy, damn it. Doesn't just have to be Lucy. One thing I do want to bring up here, because we had to jump to Lucy, but I when we look at the rookie quarterbacks as we pivot back to the NFL here, that's what I love about this show. They told me, they said, go quick. Just throw out everything you got. So here we go. That's what I'm going to do. I mentioned Jaden Daniels in rushing yards. Bo Nix interceptions, I'm taking those every single week. I'm staying away from Caleb Williams. If you look at the debuts that we had from the three rookie quarterbacks, because we had five obviously drafted in the first round, but only three actually started week one. I'm not willing to panic over one week when it comes to Caleb Williams. Now, don't get me wrong. That was one of the worst debuts for a quarterback we've ever seen. I mean, we're talking Tommy DeVito and Desmond Ridder numbers. I mean, seriously, those are quarterbacks that had less than 100 yards passing in their first start in the NFL. I'm going to put Caleb Williams above those names. I look at that offense. I look at the talent that's there. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of new things going on. And it takes some time for these offenses to really get to the point where they can be comfortable. So the Bears may struggle a little bit early on in the season. So I would probably just stay away completely from Caleb Williams. But as the season progresses, we're going to see a better Caleb Williams. I'm not in the area of necessarily panicking yet, but I think the Bears in general, probably just a stay away team overall at this point. So they got the Texans coming up on what, Sunday Night Football? I like the Texans in that game, and I think Houston certainly is even... Like, if the Bears and Texans were playing Week 8, 9, 10, I'd look at that game and say, give me the over. You know, give me all the props that I can take for both offenses. But right now, you can just tell, like, the Texans are in a spot where they're... Like, they've just... There's more chemistry there. They've got more of a flow, and it's not like it was even a great Week 1 for them. But the Bears, it's going to take some time. But I'm not just going to write off Caleb Williams after one game. We love to do this, right? Oh, my God. Oh, Caleb Williams. He looks terrible. Is he a bust? Is, like, really, there were headlines and there were topics this week. Is Caleb Williams a bust? No, he's not. I mean, it's one week. It's one game. Pump the brakes. But if you're looking at anything in terms of betting, props, it's you just stay away. It's just that simple. You don't really have to do much there. Caleb Williams will likely still win Offensive Rookie of the Year when it's all said and done. Although Xavier Worthy, who's 9-1 right now at BetMGM, Xavier Worthy keeps doing what he does in that Chiefs offense. I mean, 9-1 is a pretty good price right now. Might want to at least consider that. That Xavier Worthy is the closest thing to Tyreek Hill that we've had since Tyreek Hill in Kansas City. So there's clearly an opportunity there for him to put up some big numbers in a lot of different ways. But yeah, Bo Nix interceptions every single week. You're looking at those quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams probably still going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year when this whole thing is all said and done. But it was a rough start. It was a rough start for all of these quarterbacks. And it shows you, too, like, just because there's a lot of hype around a certain player, especially at the most important position in sports, quarterback, doesn't mean week one's going to be great for him. Doesn't mean they're just going to start off and look like, honestly, C.J. Stroud. See, C.J. Stroud messed it up for everybody. C.J. Stroud threw for, what, 384 in his debut? Or was that week two? Doesn't matter. Point is, he was really good. And, like, most rookie quarterbacks are not going to look that good right off the bat. So it's one of those situations where we say, let's pump the brakes. I'm taking rushing yards week after week with Jaden Daniels. I'm taking interceptions with Bo Nix. He's going to throw the ball. He threw the ball 42 times week one. So Sean Payton's like, you're just going to keep doing it. Keep doing it. There's going to be some mistakes there. He's going to take sacks. He's going to throw some just really bad throws. That's really how you target some of those rookie quarterbacks right now. As for this week, like I said, I'm boycotting baseball. Just tail Lucy. I have boycotted baseball since the NFL season started, mainly because it frustrated me over the last month, because that's what baseball does. But prop lock for me, a prop that I love, I've said it, and I'll say it again, Lamar Jackson over in his rushing yards. Got it at 48.5. Jump on these as soon as you can, because some of them are going to get bet up really, really fast. And, I mean, Lamar, it took days for that to get up. Thank God we have it there now, because he's just going to run for his life. I mean, I would even throw Jaden Daniels in here as a second one if you want to do that. But, like, I don't know what Lamar Jackson is going to do if this offensive line continues to look the way that it did week one. I mean, maybe some of it is a testament just to that Chiefs defense, which it should be. Steve Spagnuolo and what that defense looks like, that is one of the most aggressive in the NFL. But, like, if they continue to give those gaping holes to defensive lines and to pass rushers week after week in Baltimore, we're going to see Lamar Jackson from early in his career, where he's got to run the ball 16, 17, 18 times a game and get over 100 yards rushing for that offense to continue to progress forward. So give me the over on Lamar Jackson, and I'm doing that every single week. Dog of the day this weekend, I love the Titans plus 3.5. Look, Aaron Rodgers and that Jets offense still kind of trying to find their rhythm a little bit. I know Will Levis is the problem, like we talked about with Lucy, right? Will Levis, that could be an absolute issue for them. But at least with Aaron Rodgers and that offense kind of figuring things out, Titans defense is really, really good. And I think that's an opportunity for them to at least cover the 3.5. And then I love the Steelers and Broncos. I got it under 37.5. It's gone down to 36.5. But that game could be very, very low scoring because, like I said, Bo Nix and the Steelers offense on top of that. Oof. So give me the Steelers Broncos under 37.5. Titans plus 3.5. Lamar Jackson over on his rushing yards. God, we're already done. 30 minutes is a lot shorter than 4 hours, I'll tell you that. Send it in. I'm Nick Ashew.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.